Don't touch that dial. Listen to... Yes, folks, it's another half hour of fun with Blondie and Dagwood, with Arthur Lake as Dagwood, Ann Rutherford as Blondie, and Hanley Stafford as Mr. Dithers. Well, thousands of years ago, the man in the house was always the boss. If the wife raised her voice, the husband raised his club, and that was the end of that. Everything was nice and quiet. But things have changed since those good old days, 3,000 years ago. A man's position is less secure now. If you don't believe me, let's listen in at the office of the J.C. Dithers Construction Company, where Dagwood Bumstead and his boss, J.C. Dithers, are discussing some of their problems.
Bumstead, do you mean to tell me that you went home late and didn't even take off your shoes and sneak in?
Mm-hmm. No, I certainly didn't. I walked right in the house and I looked right in the eye of Blondie and I... And she didn't say a word.
Wow. How late were you?
About a minute and a half.
If you were that late, why did you bother going home at all?
Yeah.
You know, Cora's been that way, too, lately. Mm-hmm. For the last week, she hasn't bothered to examine my lapels for strange face powder.
Mm-hmm. Gee, it sounds like the burning flame of your romance is dying out.
The burning flame is now a pilot light.
Mm-hmm. Of course, Mrs. Dithers does love you. I know that, Mr. Dithers.
Why, she can't help herself. Mm-hmm. After all, I'm pretty irresistible. She feels about me the same way,
The way a cat feels about a rat?
No.
Yeah. Oh, the way a mouse feels about a cheese, huh? Yeah.
Bumstead, stop helping me.
Excuse me.
She loves me, I know that. But I'm afraid I'm getting as familiar to her as an old shoe.
Yes, I've heard her refer to you as a heel a couple of times.
Now, you should talk. Blondie considers you just a piece of furniture.
Oh, is that so?
Yeah, the cuckoo clock. Hmm.
You know something? I wish I really knew exactly how Blondie does feel about me.
Well, that's easy. Tomorrow morning at breakfast, tell her you're going to work late at the office.
Yeah.
If she doesn't seem to care, you'll know you're not the attractive, glamorous man you never were anyway.
Mm, yeah. Okay, I'll try it. I'll tell her I'm going to work late. It sounds a little dangerous, but I'll try it for breakfast. Good morning, Blondie, dear.
Good morning, dear. Here's your coffee.
Yeah. Blondie,
what's the matter, dear?
I guess I've just got a lot of things on my mind. Dear, when I'm at the office, do you have things on your mind, like me, for instance?
Why, of course, dear. I think of you every hour on the hour.
Oh, now, how do you know you think of me every hour on the hour?
I do, darling. I think of you whenever the clock strikes the hour and the little bird comes out and says, cuckoo.
Yeah, that's very nice, dear. I'm very flattered. I hope you'll be thinking of poor little me tonight, though, because I'm going to have to work late at the office, dear.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yes, I hope you don't mind, Blondie.
Oh, no, not at all.
Yeah, why not?
Well, why should I mind?
Well, I thought maybe you were planning something special for dinner and would want me to come home.
Oh, no, dear, I'm only having a steak and mashed potatoes and thick gravy, cream corn casserole, Waldorf salad, and for dessert, your special favorite.
You mean we're having banana cream pineapple upside down pie?
That's right.
With peanut butter?
Yes.
Oh, boy, I can hardly wait.
Well, I'm afraid you'll have to miss it if you're going to work late at the office.
I guess I'll just have to tell Mr. Dithers I can't work late tonight, yeah.
No, Dagwood. Hmm? If you have to work late at the office, you'll just have to work late at the
Blondie,
office.
Yeah, but Blondie, I'll be out after 9 o'clock. Alone.
I know. But business comes first.
But Blondie, suppose it wasn't business and the whole thing was just a way for me and Mr. Dithers to get out tonight, huh? Don't you think that you should make me stay home, huh?
No, Dagwood. Sure. If you insist on working late, no matter how I try to tempt you, it must be very important.
Yes, but
tonight you've got to work late at the office.
Yeah, but Blondie.
No, Dagwood, that's final. You have spoken. just bet anything I'm right about this.
Hello?
Hello, Cora. This is Blondie.
Oh, hello, Blondie. What's new? What's the latest dirt that's blowing up the alley?
Well, oh, guess who's going on that 9-day diet? Irene Bottomley.
Well, it's about time. She's so heavy, if she adds another pound, she'll have to wear a trailer license.
Yes, isn't it just awful? How's Mr. Dithers?
Who?
Your husband.
Oh, that old thing.
Yes. Has he mentioned anything about working late at the office tonight?
Oh, he's been hinting around a little. But when he comes right out and asks me, I'm going to lock him in a closet for a few days to cool him off. Why, Blondie?
Well, when he does ask you, tell him it's okay with you, huh?
Blondie, do you realize what it means to let Julius out alone at night? Why, it'd be like turning a dog loose at a cat festival.
I know, Cora, but I have a plan.
Okay, Blondie, but it better be a good one. I can tell by the way Julius has been acting lately that he'd like to get out and have some fun.
What makes you think so?
Well, for one thing, the other night he went out on the roof and howled at the moon.
Well, Bumstead, how did you make out with Blondie?
Yeah, well, not so good, Mr. Dithers. I told her that I had to work late tonight, and you know what she said? She said, okay, go ahead.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Well, you did it right, I guess. Mm. You've got to be forceful and run your house like a government.
Yeah.
Show your wife that you're the president. Yes,
well, how did you make out with your wife?
Well, she hit me with a ballot box. It was stuffed, too.
Yeah. You mean that you can't work tonight?
Well, I hinted around, and she kept saying, no, no, no.
Oh, couldn't make up her mind, huh? Mm.
So I'm going to call her right now and tell her I'm working late, and that's all there is to it.
Good for you, Mr. Dithers. That's what I like. But, you know, I was sort of worried about the way that Blondie didn't even care at all. Do you suppose she's really lost a little interest in me?
Oh, why not? Just wait till Cora answers this phone. Mm. I'll tell her. Who does she think she is, telling me what to... Oh, hello, honeypot. This is Julie, your lover boy. About tonight, honeypot, would you mind too terribly much if I work late at the office and... I can? Well, thank you, honeypot. Yes, goodbye, honeypot.
Boy, you sure told her a thing or two.
She didn't argue about it a bit. Mm. A fine wife.
Yeah.
I got a good notion to call her back and tell her she had any brains. She'd never let me out tonight.
Yeah, well, why don't you do it? Go ahead, Mr. Dithers. Here, I'll dial it for you.
Bumstead, down that phone.
Out, Mr. Dithers. Take your foot off my hand.
Well, if our wives are going to take us for granted, they're making a big mistake. We'll just stay out tonight and have a big fun time.
Yeah, whoopee.
Well, what's the matter, Bummy? Tonight we'll be riding high, wide, and handsome.
Yeah, and if our wives find out, we'll end up low, flat, and frightful.
Hello, Cora. Come on in.
Oh, thanks, Blondie. Well, come on, what's your plan? And Julius called up and I let him off his leash. He'll be out in the town tonight.
Well, so will Dagwood. Now look, Cora, we know that all they want to do is have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I'm sure, as far as Dagwood is concerned, getting out and having some fun is just a temporary idea.
And as far as Julius is concerned, it's a permanent obsession.
Cora, you know the boys wouldn't think of doing anything wrong.
Blondie, are you out of your mind? Julius doesn't think about anything else. What do you think Dagwood thinks about?
Well, that's very hard to tell. The first thing he thinks of is eating. The second thing is sleeping.
I know what the third thing is.
Yes, back to eating again.
Well, then, why are you worried about what'll happen to Dagwood?
Well, Cora, Dagwood is so kind-hearted that if a strange girl asked him to take her out to dinner and a movie, why, he just wouldn't have the heart to refuse.
Oh, Julius is even kinder-hearted. He'd save the girl the trouble of asking him.
Well, yes, I know he does eye all the girls.
Oh. We were shopping in Ormandy's yesterday, and he was eyeing every good-looking sales girl.
Did you say anything to him about it?
No, I just struck while the eyeing was hot. Ah, Blondie, I just don't trust any man.
Well, I trust Dagwood implicitly.
Oh? Then why are we getting together to talk about the boys?
Well, so I can trap him.
Now you're talking my language. What have you got up your sleeve?
Well, Barbara Cunningham has a very good-looking sister who's studying to be an actor.
Uh-huh.
Now, the sister's name is Marjorie, and she's visiting Barbara, right now.
I think I begin to catch on.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it'll work out just fine for everybody. Marjorie will get some wonderful experience acting, and when the boys come out of the office, she'll accidentally meet them and get them to take her to dinner and so forth. Then when they get home, we'll know just where they've been.
Blondie, that's a wonderful idea.
Oh, I knew you'd think so.
But just in case, I'm still going to keep my batting eye in shape by practicing on empty coconuts.
No one answers at the office.
Well, that means they're already out sniffing at the night air.
Marjorie said she bought them just as soon as they left the office.
Wonderful.
And they thought they could fool us with that working late at the office routine.
Yes. Julius told me they'd have to work with some figures.
That's where we're smart. Right now, they're probably whistling at a figure, and we know the girl who owns it.
I think we should have answered the phone when it rang as we were leaving, Mr. Ditters. And maybe it was the girls in here kind of worried about us.
Well, that's fine. You seem to forget that we want them to be worried about us. And if possible, a little jealous.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Gee, it's nice to walk down the street on a windy spring night.
All the little secretaries are going home, I suppose.
Yeah. Well, come on, let's cross the street.
No, let's stand here on the corner and enjoy the wind.
It what?
You know the old saying, it's an ill wind that shows nobody something good.
Hey, look, J.C., a lady's hat is blowing this way.
Dibs on it.
No, you don't. I caught first here. You know,
I've got it. Oh, my hat.
You know, I never felt it.
Hand me that hat, bonehead. Hey.
Huh?
There's the girl who lost it across the street. Oh, boy, get a load of that.
Yeah, hey, she's waving at us. Hey, let's not run so fast, Mr. Ditters. I wonder if the wind really blew her hat off or whether she sailed it in our direction, huh?
Look at that figure. Hmm? Do you suppose she's wearing a gossip narrow line?
What? Oh, yes, of course it.
Oh, thank you all very much for saving my little old hat.
Oh, thank you.
No, thank you all.
Oh, no, thank you all.
Bumpshead.
What?
Your face is hanging out.
Excuse me, I'll tuck it back in.
My, the wind was blowing, so I just couldn't hold myself together.
Ma'am, as far as I'm concerned, everything I can see is held together fine. And all in the right places.
My goodness, you say the nicest little old thing.
I can see that you're from the little old South.
Shauna, how could you all tell?
Because you have a Mason and Dixon line.
Oh, that cackle. It sounds like the mating call of a Rhode Island, if you'll pardon the expression, red. Are you serenading a fresh egg? You'll pardon my friend. He isn't very bright. You see, the wind keeps blowing his head off.
Yeah, and I almost lost my head over you.
Aw, you're just so sweet and darling to say that to little old me.
Oh, go on. I are not.
He's right. He are not. Now then, can we help you in any way at all possible?
Well, I wondered if y'all could recommend a good place for me to eat. I'm a stranger in town, and I don't know my way around yet.
Well, shake hands with somebody who does. We're going to get along beautifully, you gorgeous hunk of stuff.
So you talk like a little old lady's man.
Oh, don't let the truth deceive you.
Yeah. Yeah, you should see some of the little old ladies he goes around with.
Bumpstead, would you please go away and drop your head in that trash can? Yeah, that's it. How would you like to join me for dinner?
Oh,
I'd love to. It certainly is exciting to be taken to dinner by two tall, dark, handsome strangers.
Oh, I'm not so tall and so dark.
But you're strange, all right.
My, but you're both handsome.
You're just saying that because you're hungry, I bet. Hey, look, maybe you two had better go alone, huh?
No, I need you.
What for?
Well, I'm pretty sure Cora couldn't whip the both of us.
Yeah.
Oh. Come on, we'll go to Tomaine Tommy's Turkey Tavern.
Well, hey, and guess what the three of us are going to do right after dinner?
Go to a nightclub?
No, match pennies to see which one of us pays for the dinner.
That sure enough was a wonderful dinner.
I'll never understand how one little girl could eat three orders of broiled squab without it showing someplace.
Yeah. Hey, look at her plate. It has more bones on it than a buzzard's nest. Look at that.
Now won't you tell us your name?
Well, you all have been so kind to poor little me, so I'll tell you. My name is, Jones.
Gee, what an unusual last name.
Yes, Tallahassee Jones.
What an ordinary first name. And this gentleman is Connell Dogwood Bumspread Smith.
How you all?
And I'm Connell Axelcake McGiblet Brown.
Yes. You see, the colonel comes from a fine old family. I know that you've heard of the St. Louis Browns.
Huh? Well, you are certainly a charming southern gentleman.
That we is.
Oh, yes, that we is. Hey, Colonel Brown, look who's coming over this way. Over yonder, please, Colonel. It's Lucille Gabler. Uh-oh.
Well, bless my cornpone and fry my grits in possum fat. Biggest gossip in town.
Yeah. Will you gentlemen excuse me for a moment, please?
Oh, I'd be delighted.
Why, it's a pleasure. Scrap, ma'am.
Now, don't go away now.
Oh, my. Here comes Mrs. Gamble. She's coming right over here, Mr. Dillon.
Well, she's pretty dumb. Yeah. Let's try that southern cooking on her.
Well, for heaven's sakes, what a surprise. It's Dagwood Bumstead, Mr. Dithers.
I beg your pardon, ma'am. You all have me at a slot disadvantage. My name is Connell Brown, and this is my brother, Little Connell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, how you all, honey child? How's you?
Why do you call him the Colonel?
Because the Colonel's a nut. Yup.
Now, you certainly aren't going to tell me you aren't Dagwood, are you?
Ma'am, you all must be confusing me with my twin brother. When he became a Yankee, our pappy disowned him and he changed his name.
Changed his name to Woodshed, didn't he, son? Brother?
I can't remember. He looks so much like me sometimes, I don't know whether I'm he or me.
Oh, now how can you say that? I know you, Dagwood Bumstead.
Oh, the poor lady. She's just a little bit touched. They must have stood her out in the sun too long today. Huh, Colonel?
Here, ma'am. Here's a two-bit piece. Go get yourself psychoanalyzed.
Oh. You can't fool me, Mr. Dithers. I know you, and I just wish Cora were here.
Please. I just finished eating. Why, I don't know of whom you are speaking of, who.
Who? Was that girl who was here a minute ago.
That was Miss Tallahassee Jones.
She's very pretty.
A lovely flower of the South. Her eyes are like violets and lips like petals.
Yeah, bicycle pedals. Yep.
Hush your mouth, Mr. Interlocutor, or I'll run your little pinky in the cotton gin.
I wonder if either of you southern gentlemen noticed that Miss Tallahassee Jones just went out the front door. And another thing, Dagwood.
What?
Oh, excuse me, I meant to say Colonel.
Who?
She's talking to you all, Bumstead. That wrecked it.
Well.
Yeah, well, you see, that was just a little joke, Mrs. Gappler.
Well, I must hurry right home.
Yeah, wait a minute. You won't say anything about this to our wives, will you, huh?
What do you think I'm hurrying for?
I've known who Julius was with when he was working late at the office.
Bumstead, Why don't you oil that door?
You don't pay me enough to buy the oil.
You know, I thought I'd get a warm reception from my old cultured vulture. Turn the lights on.
Okay.
Hello, Dagwood.
I would look at your blondie.
Well, well, it's my own sweet Julius.
Well, well. It's my own sweet warden.
So, you've been working late at the office, huh? Hang up and dial again. You've got the busy signal.
Cora, Blondie, we were working at the office. Of course, we didn't want to be disturbed, so we didn't answer the phone.
Julius, I smell perfume on you.
You smell your own perfume. Do you smell anything, Dagwood?
Let me see here.
Oh, boy.
No, not a thing.
What about that girl you met in front of the office?
What girl?
That girl.
Oh, that girl. You take it from here, Mr. Dillard.
Oh, she was an old girlfriend of Dagwood's.
Yeah.
You take it, Bumstead.
Back to you.
I pass.
I open.
By me.
My pot.
That's 75 cents up. Bumstead, don't.
When you boys get through dealing from the bottom, we'll tell you that the girl was a brunette and very good looking.
It's no use, Mr. Dillard. They've got us surrounded.
I guess you're right.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, you know, we knew about that girl before she even saw you. We fixed it up with her to meet you two.
You know what? We've been swindled. We thought we were being devilish and enjoying ourselves, and we really weren't at all.
Cora, what a dirty trick. From now on, I'll never be sure.
Well, I'll forgive you this time, Dagwood.
Oh, thank you, Blondie.
And I'll forgive you, Julius.
Thank you, Judge.
All the time you were out. We knew you were with Barbara Cunningham's sister, Marjorie.
Come on, Mr. Dillard. Let's go in the kitchen and make a sandwich and eat our troubles away. Come on.
Okay. Indigestion, here I come.
Oh, that's probably Marjorie reporting on our own two bad boys.
Thank her for me.
Hello? Yes, Marjorie. Oh, Cora and I want to thank you so much for what you... What? Oh, I see. Yes. Goodbye.
What happened? Did she fall in love with them?
Cora, Marjorie didn't meet the boys at all. They were out with somebody else.
Oh, no!
Well, we're a little late tonight, folks. We'll see you next week.
Blondie came to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.